brought light to me, a child of darkness became a child of life. And when my soul was dry and I needed drink, the water
said to me, I am Alpha, I am Omega, the in between. I am, Jesus said to me, I'll be what it takes to meet your need.
Shelter for Brother Noah, a shepherd for the sheep.
And when the fire, you were the fourth man, and a cloud by day, and a fire by night for your children to lead the way. Said to me, I am the bread of life, just take and eat. I am, Jesus said to me, I'll be what it takes to meet your need.
Special. Oh, that means a lot. Throughout my life, he's always been exactly what I needed, not even when I knew that I needed exactly that. Amen. Exodus chapter 2 in your Bibles, if you'd go there with me this morning. Exodus in chapter 2, and when you find your place in the Word of God, if you would please stand with me, and we'll stand for the reading of the Word of God this morning. Exodus chapter 2, verse 1, and when you find your place there, we are going to read this if we can responsively. So I'll read the first verse, and then if you as a congregation would respond with the second verse all in unison. And we'll do that all the way down to verse number 10. We'll read verse 10 all together. Exodus chapter 2, I'll begin and you pick up there in verse number 2. The Bible says, "And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she... Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?
And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, Go. And the maid went and called the child's mother.
And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son, and she called his name Moses, and she said, because I drew him out of the water. Our Heavenly Father, we are so grateful today for your blessings in our life. Lord, for your goodness to us, mercy and grace. Lord, thank you for the mothers, Lord, that are represented here and what you've done for them, what you've done through them for us, Father. I ask that now we would focus on your word, that you would allow it to penetrate our hearts, Lord, that we might understand you, more about you and who you are. Be with Pastor Becker as he preaches. Please give him wisdom, fill him with your Holy Spirit power. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You may be seated. If you guessed it, we're talking about mothers today. I don't know how I came up with that. Genius idea. But we're going to be in Exodus chapter 2 this morning, and we're going to talk about mothers today as we look at this passage in Exodus chapter 2. Mother's Day is a holiday honoring motherhood that it's observed in different areas throughout the world. The American incarnation of Mother's Day was created by Anna Jarvis in 1908, became a national holiday in 1914. This woman would later try to do away with the national holiday because it became so commercialized with cards, flowers, things of that nature. Mother's Day is a special day, though, a special day to honor our mothers. Did you know more phone calls are made on Mother's Day than any other day of the year? Listen to this, though. The holiday chats with mom often cause phone traffic to spike as much as 37% on Mother's Day. I mentioned in my class, Sunday school class this morning, I was in a store this week, and a couple people behind me, someone said, Happy Mother's Day to you, and said, are you a mother? And she said, yes, I am. She had 3 children. She said, one of them is in boot camp, and she said, I hope I can get a phone call from him on Mother's Day. And due to the busyness of whatever's going on, Mother's Day is the busiest restaurant day of the year, so if you're going out to eat, I will not see you there, because we're not going to. It's a busy day. And it's also the third most attended church service day behind Christmas and Easter, if you couldn't guess as well, because moms want to bring their family to church. So thank you for being here on this very special day. It's a special day that we set aside, and we have Mother's Day, of course, and then Father's Day, and a day to celebrate our mothers, and to make it a special day for them. Every day should be a special day for our mothers. Should I get an amen on that? If you don't amen that one, you're on the doghouse already. But understand this, though. Either you are a mother or a child of a mother. So it's a special day in either way, in either sense, for everyone today. In this passage here, we'll see, we'll kind of backtrack to chapter 1. As you listen, as we kind of do a little background to the story. But the Israelites were brought into Egypt because of the famine, and God had providentially brought Joseph there and then brought his family there. They came in with 70 souls, the Bible said, but they started to grow, and their families were getting bigger, and the nation was getting bigger. And something happened as they got bigger. There was a new king that came to Egypt, and this king, the Bible says, that he knew not Joseph. Joseph had a special place in the heart of the previous Pharaoh, because for the 7 years of plenty, he stored extra for those 7 years of famine. And he helped him to preserve their nation and brought much wealth to them, and then again brought the Jewish people there as well. But then a new king came, and he knew not Joseph, and he started looking around, and he saw that the Israelites were growing by number and growing stronger. And so they started to make their duties more grievous. They became their servants. They afflicted them, the Bible says, and made their work much harder. But the more work they gave them, the more the children of God multiplied and grew. In chapter 1, verse 13, it says, the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage and mortar and in brick and all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor, the Bible says. And so this didn't work of making their work harder and trying to kind of keep them down, but it really made them stronger. And so the Pharaoh came up with a brutal and a cruel plan, and he told the midwives, as you see in this passage in verse number, in chapter number 1, the midwives here were Shifra and Puah. And these two women that the king told him, when you go to deliver the babies of these Jewish women, when you see it's a boy, I want you to take the child's life, and if it's a girl, to keep them alive. And these women saw something special with God's people and saw that they were not like the Egyptians and that they would not follow through with the king's command. Praise the Lord for that. And so they kept them alive. And the Pharaoh came to these two midwives and said, "What happened? Why are you not taking these sons' life?" And they said, "They're not like us. They're lively." And basically said they would have birth to the child before we even got there. So it was too late. So then he came up with a more evil plan. He told them, and he told all the people, in verse number 22, it says, "And he charged all the people, saying, every son that is born you shall cast in the river, and every daughter you shall save alive." And so these women, they would not obey the king's commandment, but they feared God, the Bible says, in this passage. I believe the testimony of the Jewish women were so strong that he turned these Egyptian midwives into fearing God. And God blessed these women for following God and his commandments. So we see in chapter number 2, it starts out that now all of a sudden, two Levites get married, and they would have a child. It does not say their names in this passage, but we see in the book of Numbers, their names are Amram and Jochebed. Amram and Jochebed, they come together, and they're going to have a family. Could you imagine coming together to have a family at that time? And there's no time of ultrasounds and sonograms and all those things, and maybe they had their own ways to figure things out, I'm not sure, but until that child was born, they wouldn't know the gender. And now you can see like a 3D image and, you know, all the crazy things you can do today. So they are going to have a child. Could you imagine how scared they could be thinking of what was going to happen to their child when he was born? Again, the commandment was passed all around. If anyone sees a male child, to throw him in the river. I could not understand how horrific that would be for that sight or for someone to follow through with that. And so they're about to have a child, and they find out that it was going to be a son. In verse 2, she conceived and bare a son, and the Bible says she saw that he was a goodly child. And a goodly child. And there's something special about the love of a mother. And so she took him and she hid him for 3 months. Could you imagine trying to hide a baby's cries and their life, I guess, if you will, from common sight to anyone that came by? And she hid him as long as she could until she could no longer hide him. And I bet she thought, as she looked at her child, what will happen to you? How can I believe that God has something special for your life, as she held her baby boy and thought, I can't keep you any longer. And she took her son, and the Bible says that she would take him in, and she would put him in an ark of bulrushes and daub it with slime and pitch and cover it up and put him at the brink of the river. And the ark would hide in the flags of the river and just sat there, not knowing what would happen and what would come, but she put her child in God's hands. And as she did that, and she went back home, and the Bible says that the sister of Moses, Miriam, was there by the bank of the river, and she was back there watching and peeking to see what was going to happen. And so Pharaoh's daughter came by that way. To be honest, if anyone was going to come that way, you would think anyone but Pharaoh's daughter. The daughter of the king that made the cruel commandment, anyone but Pharaoh's daughter. But she came by with one of her maids, and they didn't know what was there, but they heard a cry. And they heard a cry of a baby, and I can imagine, to their amazement and astonishment, opened it up only to find a baby there. And they, I'm sure, quickly understood it was a Hebrew baby as well. And so they opened it up, and I can picture Pharaoh's daughter coming home with the baby, coming to dad saying, "Dad, can I keep him? Can I keep him?" And even Pharaoh couldn't say no. And so dads know that when your daughter asks something, you just say yes, whatever you want, whatever you need. You know, do your daughters, if you have a daughter, do they do the evil thing where they go, "Dad, please"? And you're like, that's cruel. That's not even fair. Your son asks you, you're like, "No, you're fine." You know, but your daughters. And so she keeps this son, Moses. And the story goes on to where she finds out that the baby still needs to nurse. And so she goes to this Jewish girl, Miriam, which is nearby, not knowing the relationship. And can you imagine? And the maid says, do you want me to find someone to nurse the child? And she says, yes, please do that. So she takes the child and brings Moses back to her mother. Could you imagine how surprised that Moses' mother would have been, Jochebed would have been, to see Miriam running back with the baby she just put in the river? Maybe thinking, what are you doing? You're getting us in trouble. But now they have the approval. Now they have the safety from the king for her to raise her own child. But even better than that, they said, would you find someone to nurse the child, and we will even pay her to nurse the child. Can I get an amen for that, ladies, right? The last time mom's been paid to watch her own children was Moses' mother. And so she got to raise her own son and to nurse her son until he was old enough, and she would send him back to Pharaoh's home. He was in a safe home, not a godly place, but I can imagine that mom as she thought, whatever the time may be, I get to invest in my child. She saw he was a goodly child. There was something special about him. There's something special about a mom that looks at her child and sees his or her future. To think of what they could become. As men, we don't quite understand. We do somewhat the miracle of birth. And to think of a mother that grows that child inside of her and then gives birth, and to where that child truly becomes a part of that mother. I want to give you a message this morning with the subject of this. We need godly mothers. We need godly mothers. The strength of our country is the home. The strength of our church is the home. The strength of this nation that we have today is the home. And of godly mothers and fathers, don't worry, fathers, we'll get to you next month, but to have godly mothers to raise their children for the Lord. I want to look at a few points this morning with the subject of this. We need godly mothers. First of all, about this mother named Jochebed. First of all, she loved God more than her own life. She loved God more than her own life. I don't know a parent that wouldn't lay down their life for their child. I don't know a parent that wouldn't sacrifice their life if they had to for the safety of their child. As she hid her child, I can imagine as people would walk by, she'd try to hush the child and keep it quiet. Maybe to play loud music when the baby was crying, I'm not sure. Maybe she did all the creative things that you tried to do to get your child to be quiet as well. And I can imagine all that she went through, knowing she was risking her own safety and the safety of her family for Moses. She loved God more than her own life. She obeyed God over Pharaoh's command. The Pharaoh had a command for everyone. If you see a male child being born, to either take the child's life or throw it in the river. But she said, and she knew, not the verse that was given yet, but that we ought to obey God rather than men. And she said, I don't care what Pharaoh's command is. This is my child. And I'm going to raise my child to live for God because there's something special with my child's life. In the book of Hebrews, it says in chapter 11, that Hall of Faith chapter, other than in verse number 1, Amram is not mentioned in this chapter. But in the Hall of Faith in Hebrews 11, it says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. They said, we're going to obey God, and whatever amount of time that we have, we will raise our child to live for God, because he's a goodly child, they said. He's a proper child, and we're not afraid of what the king could do to us, because they were godly parents trying to raise a godly child. Would to God that we have godly parents today raising godly children. Know this, that there is no perfect home. There is no perfect husband. There is no perfect wife. There's no perfect mother or father. There is no perfect child. I maybe need to mention that one as well. There's no perfect child, but know this. That was a good time for the amen. But know this, that we need godly homes today. Our nation is crumbling when our homes crumble. We need godly homes. She loved God more than her own life. Deuteronomy 6:5, it says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. She said, if it were to give my life, I'm going to obey God and invest in this next generation. She didn't know who she was raising. She didn't know what he would become, but think about it. If there was not a godly mother of Jochebed, where would the nation of Israel be? Where would they have been? Would they have still been in bondage? Would God have raised someone else up? God had a special plan for Moses, and God showed that to his parents and to his mother. They loved their God. The greatest example you can give to your children is to love God with all of your heart. You may not be able to give your children the nicest home and all the biggest vacations and all the programs and things that are out there. To be honest, those are overrated. Too many times we think, well, I've got to give my child everything to have a good home. No, you don't. What you need to give them is a godly home. They need a godly home to raise up and to see a mother and a father that walks with God, that loves God and loves their family and invests in them and teaches them to love God as well. These Israelite women even converted, if you will, the Egyptian midwives. When they saw the testimony of the Israelites, they started fearing God as well. See, these mothers were influencing the next generation. Never take it as a low thing to be a stay-at-home mother to raise your children. I understand that we don't always have a generation or the time where every mother gets that blessing and that opportunity, but if you get that opportunity, take that as a badge of honor, not of shame. And for others, that may be the case where you're not able to be home all the time. Invest all of your time and your efforts in the next generation and to teach them to love God, to love their God. She loved God more than her own life. She loved her son. He wouldn't know it at the time. He would maybe hear about it in Scripture, hear about it from his siblings. Moses would never know how his upbringing went. But later on, he would realize the love of his mother, that she risked her life, that she loved her God enough to invest in him. And I could think for Moses as he heard that, and you know the Hall of Faith chapter in Hebrews 11 where Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh, and he said, no, I'm a son of God. I'm a son of Amram. I'm a son of Jochebed. And I'm not going to follow the Egyptians' way. I'm going to follow God like my mom. I'm going to follow God like my father did. She loved her son. That made an impression on his life. Mothers usually see the best in their children. Mothers usually are the encouragers. Mothers usually are the comforters. It's not always that way, but many times when a kid needs something, what do? They go running to mom. And dad's like, rub some dirt on it. You're fine. Get back out there. You know, leg half fallen off. You're fine. I've had worse before. And mom's like, oh, come here. I'll help you. And mothers, there's something special about the love of a mother. She loved God more than her own life. Number two, she trusted her child in God's hands. She did all that she could do. And guess what, parents? You can do all that you can do, but know this, that our strength and our abilities are limited, and the best you can to raise and to nourish and to train your children, but at some point, you have to send them off. At some point, she took her son and put him in that ark and those bulrushes and did the best that she could, and I can imagine she went home and prayed and said, God, protect my son. I know that you have something special with his life. I don't know how you can use him or what you're going to do, but God, use my son. And she said, God, he's in your hands. But you know what? There's no safer place to be than in God's hands. There's no better place to be than to put your child in God's hands. That's why it's so important, parents, to push your children to the Lord, to push your child to the Word of God and to prayer and to church, than to push them to all the activities of life and all the extra things that don't really matter for eternity, but to invest in your child's eternity. To invest in your child's upbringing, spiritually speaking. I can imagine she put her son there, Moses, and said, how long can I hide him? How long until he gets bigger can I keep him in the home? And can I really keep him safe there? You know what? As parents, I don't know any parent out there that says, I'm a perfect parent. I've done everything right. My child, I think every parent out there is going, I'm just doing the best that I can do. God help me to do right today because I don't know what I'm doing. Can I get an amen from parents on that one? And until your parents, young people, you don't even know what you're facing until it gets to you. And we're going to say, I told you so. your parents ever tell you this, you're going to thank me someday. And if you're old enough and you're wise enough, you will thank them today. She hid her child from danger. When she conceived and bare a son, she hid him 3 months. She put him in the ark and she hid him. She tried to protect her son from this evil world that we have today. Can I tell you, parents, this? That it is the job of the parents to protect your child from this world. We can't go and hide in a cave, but you can do your best to protect your child from the harm from this world and from Satan and from sin that is trying to pollute our child's lives. And you can stand up and be a godly mother and be a godly father that will protect and to hide your child and to push him closer to God and keep him away from this wicked world that we have. A godly mother raises her children from the danger of this world and protects them from sin and danger ahead. She placed him in God's hands. When she could no longer hide him, she pushed him out there, put him in the river, and said, here he is, Lord. Now he's yours. We've not gone to that place in our life. Our son is 14 and 4 and 3 for our daughters. We've not reached that place, as many of you parents have, where you see your child and they turn that graduation tassel over and they're heading out on their own. And I could imagine the thought of, Lord, I did my best. I wasn't perfect at it, but God, they're in your hands. You know, the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. You know that God doesn't command parents to be perfect. We should be right, and we should try to be more like God, but there's not a perfect parent out there. But train them up in the way they should go, the Bible says. That's the duty of parents, and to place them in God's hands. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 7, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments 1,000 generations. I can imagine Jochebed as Moses came back home and Miriam with her brother, and she thought, how could this be? Because God is faithful. God is faithful, that God provided when she had no way to provide and to keep them safe. Thirdly, this morning is this: she raised a child to love the Lord. You, again, may not be able to give your child the fanciest of things and all that the world would say you have to be a success, but anyone can raise their child to love God. You can teach them. You can give them all the tools. Now, after that, it's their choice. We'll get to that in a moment. But she raised her child to love the Lord. She got to raise Moses for a period of time until she sent him back to be raised in Pharaoh's house. And I bet she prayed and instructed, and maybe she saw him over time. I'm not exactly sure on that. But she taught him to love God by her example, by her prayers, and by her teaching. She taught him to love God. She taught her son. I can imagine she spent, again, much time praying and investing. Society downplays the importance of a mother, downplays the importance of a father, thinking that society and education and every, like, the world is trying to say, well, you give us your child and we'll raise them. How about this? You leave me alone and I'll raise them. All right? That's what I'd like to say. And I want to teach them what's right. Train up a child in the way they should go. For parents, and for those that your children are out of the home, but for those parents here today with children in the home, and as many have told us, you get a short amount of time with your children in your home. 18 years of their life, some it extends a little bit longer, but 18 years of their life, you get a chance to instruct them. But I know this, a mother never stops mothering. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I know there's a chuckle because we think of that in the other way, but a parent never stops loving. A parent never stops praying. A parent never stops investing and teaching, and it's maybe at a distance, but training your child in the way they should go. She taught him right. She taught him better than the Egyptians' ways. How did Moses know to refuse the ways of Egypt? Because he had a godly mother and a godly father, and he knew he was different and separated for God, and he was taught better. He was taught better. In the book of Deuteronomy, some great verses about parents for their children. It says this: therefore shall ye lay up these words, these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your head, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach your children, speaking of them, when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children, the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. You know that God says for parents, it's our duties to teach them, the Bible says, when you walk by the way, when you sit by the house, when you're lying down, when you're rising up on the doorpost. What is God telling us here? Is that we need to teach the next generation the Word of God. We must teach them about the God of the Bible, because the world is not teaching them about God, so it's up to us to teach them about God. It's our duty to teach them the Bible. It's our duty as parents and as mothers and fathers to teach them about the Word of God, to memorize Scripture, to teach them how to pray, to teach them to love God, to teach them how to love people, to teach them how to go to church. Theodore Roosevelt says this, "Praying mothers are America's greatest assets." Someone said, "She's someone who will listen to your problems until you are bored with them." Abraham Lincoln also said this, "No one is poor who had a godly mother." There is nothing too small or too big to teach the next generation. And to take the Word of God, and every opportunity is a teaching opportunity, to take the Word of God from a child before they can speak, before they can even really focus their eyes, is to teach them about the Word of God and to pray over them that God would use their life. Not only did his mother teach him right, but Moses caught it. Moses caught it. You know, you could be that parent where you've taught their child and they went their own way. You know, the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's the duty of us as children, to accept the teaching that was right by our parents, to follow the biblical training and teaching. But Moses caught it. By Moses caught it, says this in Hebrews 11, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, when he was old enough to choose for himself, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That was not out of anger for Pharaoh's daughter, but that was out of love for God and out of his parents. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He said, I'm going to follow God no matter what. Someone invested in his life. Someone taught him right. And as a child, he accepted that responsibility. He accepted that training, realizing he served the true God. He served the true God of heaven and said, I'd rather live in the affliction and the reproach with God's people than to have pleasures of sin. He could have had all that Egypt had to offer, the finest palace, position, all that he could have had, but he said, I'd rather be a child of God. Young person, that is your duty and your responsibility to take the teaching and the training that you've been given and to follow through with that. Moses caught it. He was chosen by God. Again, think of Jochebed holding her child, sending him out, nursing him, sending him back, not knowing what would become of him. And someday, she'd hear about Moses, and she'd hear that he would be the leader to lead them out of Egypt. Whether she was alive or not, I'm not sure of that. But she'd hear and see about how God would use her son's life. And I could think of her looking down and saying, that's my son. That's my son. Look at what God's doing with his life. Hey, I prayed for him. I invested in him. I didn't know what would become of him. But thank God that God is using his life. As we conclude this morning, let me challenge you with this. Mothers, set the example of a godly mother. There is no perfect mother, no perfect father. No one's going to reach perfection, but you can set the example of a godly mother. There is nothing like the example of a parent in a home and a child looking up to that parent and saying, well, that's what we do. That's what we don't do. Okay. Set the example of a godly mother. Next is this. Young people, follow the example of a godly mother. I thank the Lord for godly mothers and grandmothers and others that have invested in our lives to teach us how to love God. Follow the godly example that you've been given. And then thirdly is this today, honor your mother today. Honor your mother today. One of the Ten Commandments, honor thy father and thy mother. That's a commandment from God. It's not honor your perfect parents. It's honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long. Why? Because your parents have maybe told you this before. I brought you into this world, and I can take you out of this world as well. Maybe that has to do with the commandment. Honor thy father and thy mother. God has blessed you in your life. You say, well, you don't know my home. God has blessed you in your life. If you're sitting under the sound of the Word of God this morning, you know that you're saved. Someone has invested and prayed over your life. Honor your father and your mother.